It's April 12th, 2016. It's Tuesday, about 7:30 p.m. And I'm up here in Joshua Tree taking my walk. And I want to comment on aerosol spraying, among other things. And this is just about logic and people's lack of interest in using it. It's been pretty clear today, absolutely blue. There's been a little sparkling in the air from yesterday and the whole preceding week or two of nonstop spraying. And so now we have some blue skies, as they should be, out here in the desert. And there are some fluffy clouds. Not perfectly fluffy. There's still some aerosols in the air. Remains from the preceding days that haven't settled out and caused some deformation in the formation, some deformation of our, the cumulus clouds. It should be coherent and, as I've described it, as globular. But this is regarding plane traffic. There's been almost no overflights. Up here, this area gets, once an hour, perhaps at most, of a commercial traffic. I've been up here daily for, weeks at a time or every other day. I've had extensive exposure to what normal air traffic is. If you're walking 5 or 6 hours outside with nothing on your mind but the sky and your surroundings, you observe these things. These are things that you can't help but notice. And on a day like today, what few planes I saw had the whatever it is, the exhaust, the ice crystals, whatever they are, but they, as they are expected to, they dissipate within 5 seconds or so, maybe 5 or 6 seconds from leaving the plane, leaving the engine. And so the whiteness that is there, it's immediately disappearing, as opposed to what they call a new form of contrail, which they call a persistent contrail, which is a lie on a Nuremberg war crimes genocidal level. But so today you look up in the sky and you see nothing but a rare, once an hour airplane going overhead with nothing remaining behind it. And you have clear skies, and then you have days of just massive overflights with persistent contrails where these things are unloading, these planes are offloading tons and tons of nanoparticulate materials in aerosolized form that form this blanket of haze that turns into just these thicker layers of just constant or just a giant giant ceiling of cloud cover, but not cumulus, not anything that is normal. Just layer upon layer of this stuff. But what I'm upset about is that people could look it up and not make the connection that, there's no way that that's just normal commercial traffic on a day where we get blitzkrieged, inundated with these overflights of aerosolizing agents. And then comparing it to a day like today where Wow. There's like no traffic. No air travel today? What is this, 911? Is there a national emergency? I don't think so. So obviously they're taking the day off. They're gathering another batch of, you know, another million or two tons of this material so that the several hundred of these military tankers, refueling tankers, can be set aloft again to do their dastardly deeds. But it's just nice to see normal contrails today, and none of the junk falling out, none of the thick haze when you're at ground level looking across 10 miles or more to any, or actually 5 miles to 20 miles away, depending on what mountain range you're looking at. Just this thick white haze between you and it. That's consistent. Because I have vantage points of looking at ridges that are 8,000-10,000 feet up versus stuff that's closer to the ground, and it's a pretty much a uniform blanketing, which is not what you'd expect with the normal smog. And these are areas that are protected from the smog from the LA Basin, you know, that are hugging the Santa Rosa Mountains, the San Jacinto Mountains. There shouldn't be much smog there at all. I'll add, I've been catching up with some of the radio address made by Dane Wigington on Saturday, and I'll just repeat this, but when it was found that the radioactivity levels, I don't know what isotopes you're looking at, but after Fukushima, they took a whole bunch of their measuring devices offline, and they meaning the government, or different branches or adjuncts or, you know, people on the payroll of the government, and though they're in the private sector, they took their things offline and or set the radioactivity level like 10,000% higher for what they considered safe so as not to create alarm. And they changed what they were looking for. And so they're not, so the you know, what the agency or what the scientific division has been tasked with looking for changes so that they're no longer identifying things that should be of concern because they're no longer officially looking for them. And this argument is the same for, let's say, aluminum levels in our drinking water or in our streams and creeks and lakes, because they say, well, there shouldn't be any aluminum there anyway, so why look for it? Meanwhile, this is the direct result of the aerosolization of our atmosphere over, you know, that's gotten, you know, much more intense in the last few years. So they're not looking for that. The EPA is not looking for the contents of the aerosol programs, the solar radiation management programs, geoengineering programs. All they're looking for in the air when they test air samples are the byproducts of combustion of fossil fuels, because they're going after industrial society, and they're not, you know, the whole point of this communist, fascist, centralization takeover is to put a wet towel over the fire of human ingenuity, human creativity, human vitality, human spirituality, and, just smother it and say, hey, you have to stop being productive, stop burning fossil fuels. Meanwhile, 90% of our problems, 90% of the reason why the bees are dying off, 90% of the reason why we have skyrocketing rates of Alzheimer's, dementia, and respiratory illnesses is because of the heavy metal spraying and the polymers and the mold that's inserted into it and all of this shit that's going on, but they're not looking for it. So that's what they say is a case of the dog that doesn't bark, because, you know, they've been told not to bark at that item, even though it's the most important thing. And along those lines, what came up on in Dane's latest address was, I don't really follow this, but apparently there's a mega, what they call a super volcano, under Yellowstone National Park. This is the largest, this is the only one in North America, and that if it erupts, that the western two-thirds of the United States will be covered in ash, and it will have a brutal, destructive effect on our productivity, on the output of our produce, our productive ability in terms of agriculture, all sorts of things. And what's happened is apparently there is a couple of sites, a couple of entities that were responsible with monitoring earthquake activity. Because if you get increased earthquake activity, that's associated with an increased likelihood of, or correlated with an increased likelihood of a major eruption. And apparently that's just happened in the past week. And what's mind-boggling, what's so concerning about this is that the function, the purpose of these agencies is to inform the public so that the public, you know, what is that saying? You know, the public shall perish for lack of knowledge. You know, how can we make decisions? How can we govern ourselves? How can we make plans for the future? How can we make plans for the present if we don't have accurate information? And so, what do? They just pull all of that data, and it's no longer being made available on a daily basis. It's just blank. It's offline. And so what you can tell by that is, A, the purpose of these agencies is to keep people asleep and undisturbed, literally, in a coma from their lack of awareness, lack of knowledge. It's the bending of scientific activities toward a political ends, because it is indeed political. You know, scientists are supposed to just provide the data. It's the public, it's our public institutions that are supposed to make sense of it. But you're not supposed to censor it up front. And there's more along these lines. Apparently, the destructiveness of the geoengineering in terms of what's happening to the Great Barrier Reef, apparently, like another 40% of what's there, what remains, is going to bleach out in the next month because the temperatures are rising so much. For one reason, it's not just from... It's not even mostly due to the carbon output of the planet, although that's certainly playing a role. But apparently, all the particulate matter that we're spraying into the stratosphere, we meaning the godless reptilians, the godless financial banking family reptiles running this planet, seeking to merge man and machine, destroying all life in its wake, that pursuit's wake. This particulate matter sprayed up above, as it is destroying the ozone layer. And the ozone apparently interacts with the, you know, the damaging, you know, the ultraviolet rays, other rays. It interacts with the sun's radiation coming into the planet, and it reduces a lot of the heat that would otherwise hit us, and that is hitting us now, causing genetic damage because these are the more damaging rays. But so we have, you know, there's on a lot of fronts, there are more people that are concerned, and even more scientists, we believe, are concerned about what's going on. And so you have right now several very concerning matters. Hundreds, I would say over 1,000 climate scientists have been fired between Canada and Australia. These are different aspects of the climate, and they're all being gotten rid of. And Dane Wigington's conjecture, you know, very intelligently presented, is that more people are growing a conscience, and you need to tighten the noose over who knows what, and just, you need to get rid of, I mean, you would think that as the climate's falling apart, as this is the most important dimension of our reality at this time, certainly the way they want to present it, you know, the reptiles want a one world government, a one world financial system, etc. Because of climate change, among, you know, primarily. That's what their stated purpose, but that's a lie, an absolute lie. And so to better protect that lie is just to get rid of anyone who might know otherwise. But it gets worse. The two main branches of the weather service, the National Weather Service, and the National Ocean Atmospheric something or other, NOAA. These two groups and other groups that are involved in geoengineering all have gag orders on them. You know, they don't have First Amendment rights, and furthermore, they have to sign agreements if they want to continue to receive a paycheck that they are not to disclose any information related to their work to the public, I guess without prior written approval from their superiors. And so there's a gag order on that, and there's been some people that have put forth some firsthand knowledge of their being, for the people actually involved in the spraying, lethal enforcement provision of that non-disclosure agreement. You talk, you die. You talk, your child dies. And the two main weather modeling and news services, weather news services in this country, are owned by Monsanto and Lockheed Martin. I believe it's Lockheed Martin, but major military contractor. And then Monsanto is the same entity that is developing a whole line of seeds, GMO seeds, that are built to resist acidic soils or whatever they are, soils that are saturated with nano-free aluminum. Not that any of their GMO products work out, but they're going to claim to have a product that is going to become more marketable in a disintegrating world. So in this environment, how can we, you know, what is truth? And How can we get back our country? That is a question, because people like Donald Trump Bernie Sanders and the others that are running for president right now, none of them are bringing this up. And I've been shocked at, well, I'm not going to get into the politics right now, but I would just place a bet that really the only one who might be a threat to the establishment in a real way is Donald Trump. A distant second is Bernie Sanders. And it's for that reason that just because Donald has said he wants to audit the Federal Reserve, and he's a nationalist, not a globalist, and the spraying program is a globalist agenda, Donald Trump wants to do, or is speaking the language of wanting to do, what's best in America's interests. And that flies in the face of everything we've been force-fed the last 20 years about, you know, George W. Bush's New World Order, the neocons and their project for a new American century, in which that treatise published a year before 9/11 said they needed their new Pearl Harbor to launch attacks in the Middle East to gain control over oil and everything. I mean, blah, 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 but that was a globalist, the whole thing's a globalist neoconservative agenda. And Donald Trump is, I think, the only one who presents a credible threat, a credible argument to reverse all that. I know, and what's sad is that the media unanimously, and that's what's so telling, liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, the Chinese government, the Mexican government, everyone who's getting our labor or benefiting from flooding our country with illegal immigrants. You know, I mean, China's benefiting from all of our trade deals. They have trade barriers to us, and so does Japan, but we have to just lie on our backs and take whatever they give us. They all are saying don't vote for Trump, and I think he's worth a try. But Dane says everyone, they're all clowns, and that's a safe place to be. You know, they are, because they're not addressing the real issues. But there's something called the Overton window, and what that means is, you know, the realm of possibility. You know, you have a gestalt, you have a milieu of what's possible. And I think Donald Trump is expanding that. Bernie Sanders is talking about, you know, all these free things for everybody. But it's just, but it's really expanding a government that is no longer trustworthy. You know, I think we really need to shrink the role of government. You know, it's because of an excessively large government. It's because of a debt-based currency controlled by a private banking consortium where they just earn interest on all the debt they issue to us at no cost or risk to themselves, which is just ridiculous. I mean, it's because of all those things that we have the situation we're in, where we're humanity and all of life is considered expendable now, because, you know, the elites have everything they want. You know, these psychopaths, reptiles, whatever in the fuck they are, they have everything they want, and really we're no longer needed. They'll just have a few of their, you know, manservants, and then they're just going to have their, you know, computers they upload their consciousnesses to, who knows what. But, so, that's all to say. So, Dane Wiginton says, don't worry, no, don't, it's not really worth paying attention to. Just stick to the narrow, you know, the narrow message of look up, let's call them out, let's have more people step forward and, you know, and tell their stories, and let's stop the geoengineering. Yeah, that sounds good to me. In the meantime, I'm going to throw a vote to Trump. I've never even really heard him speak. just a couple short things, but seeing a few of his positions and hearing all the diatribes by all these parties that I just have brought us, the failed state and the failed foreign policy, the failed domestic policy of the United States. Who are these people to criticize him when they have failed the U.S. so miserably? And that's it. Over and out.